This is the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. Here are your hosts, Justin Jarrett and Wes Kerr.
Look who's back. Back again. We got Max back, Justin Jarrett, Wes Kerr, and Mad Max Araj fresh off the road, rejoining us here on the Loco Sports Lowdown Tuesday night edition. The teams are dwindling, but the stakes are rising all the time. So not a lot of games to talk about tonight, but the stakes are high. We're in the playoffs, win or go home time. And Wes, you are coming in hot. Deep in the playoffs, yes. You came in hot from the Landshark Park tonight, the tank over at May River, where the Sharks kept rolling. And by the way, I was right. I called it. Olivia Nagel.
Nagel. And not just coming in, but she went the whole way, the complete game shutout in a 3-0 win. And she was fantastic. 6 strikeouts, picked up a couple of really efficient outs, and found the strike zone early and often in this game. It just was very polished. And, you know, we talked about who's going to start. Would they play Caraballo again, or would they go to Nagel and to give a look that they Lucy Beckham hasn't seen? And that's exactly what they did. And Nagel was lights out. And so great to see you have – we've talked a lot about Caraballo, but to be able to put on a performance like that from a freshman arm in a elimination playoff game is really special. And she was on form. So that was an impressive job from her. But then, all the runs came early in this game for the Sharks. They got one in the first, and then Big Bull was the Allie Belcher 2 RBI double to left center. And then they're held in check the rest of the way. But those 3 runs were able to hold up thanks to some brilliant pitching by Nagel and some tremendous defense. I'll tell you what, you got to have good defense in the playoffs. Alongside your pitching, and they had that again. Really, all these home games, so they've had strong fielders behind their pitchers, and you have to have it to keep playing, and they're doing it. So excited to see what this Maver team could do. They've been battle tested after that initial loss to North Myrtle Beach. They almost had to spawn some again, but it definitely worked out in Sharks' favor that they saw Beckham instead of team they dominated, and they did as well here tonight. So, I mean, excellent work by Nagel setting the tone. I mean, if you look at the box.
That's 3 play, shutouts. 3 shutouts on a 1-run game in their last 5 games. That's
that's really solid. 3 hits. Yeah, just like 3 hits in the game. So.
And they don't, and neither one of them strikes out a ton of people. They get a lot of contact. They just play really good defense, like you said. Belcher's been swinging it good lately too. She had a big hit as well, right?
Yeah, she was a catalyst in both the last 2 games on Saturday against Irmo, and then again against this Lucy Beckham squad. So great to see her swing hot bats, and good to see them win without Caraballo having her best game, because despite an off night from Caraballo, who's at the plate but not pitching, other players stepped up, and really it was Nagel setting the tone in the circle. And now, after 4 home games in a row, they will go on the road on Thursday at Lugoff Elgin. So, see if they can take that same intensity. Now, you know, you have 2 guys you can trust in the circle, whether it's Caraballo or the freshman. So, I expect him to go back to Anna. But, like I said, great to see that Nagel throwing a gem here in an elimination playoff game. So, that's been a fun team to cover. And they still have a chance to keep this thing rolling, especially if the pitching continues as well as it has.
Yeah, Lugoff, I mean, would appear to be, a win a bowl game. Have to play well, obviously. You have to keep doing what you've been doing. But that would appear to be winnable. And then, you know, you roll the dice against West Florence if you can get back in there and try to beat them twice. But I think if you'd have told them at the outset that they'd still be playing at this stage, they probably would have signed up for that. Terrific run by this group. And they've got a really solid group of seniors, but also a lot of young kids that are contributing. And, you know, the future looks really bright for that program. I love what Coach Lisa has done over there in the couple seasons she's been at the helm. And it started with, you know, Sean Gleason really, really built it up. And Now Lucas
has Kylie was a big part of that, but they're only losing two key seniors this year. Pretty much everybody else is coming back, so they're going to have a lot to build on into next year and beyond. Obviously, Carabao is a big loss, but Nagel, and they can get that second arm as well developing, but they're set for a couple of strong years ahead. Yeah. And, you know,
and I'm sure they have more coming up.
Right. Yeah.
So speaking of some softball news, and Anna Carabao, she was one of several from the area named to the South Carolina Coaches Association of Women's Sports All-Star Teams. You got Kylie Rast from Buford, of course, Haley Maroney and Brooke Crosby from Battery Creek, Anna Carabao from May River, and Bailey Cox from Colleton County, and Reagan Kelly from Bluffton, all making that team. So that's fun, man. That's a bunch of our kids, yeah. And a lot of them have played together, playing travel ball coming up, Bad Cats. So that'll be cool for them. One last hurrah in high school. Yep. Good stuff. So, yeah, Sharks at Lugoff Elgin on Thursday. So Thursday. Sharks are still alive.
If they win that.
Yeah, if they win that, they'll go to West Florence, right?
If they win that, they'll get in that bracket, half the championship of the pies, if you will.
Right.
It's a big regional, what it is.
Yeah, basically. It's like a double regional. But they're the only softball team that stayed alive tonight. South Florence got Colleton County 15-0. So that's the end for the Cougars. They had a solid run. I think they kind of expected it to fizzle out a little bit earlier than it did, but they had a good run through the backside too. So that was a fun team as well. And they'll continue to be a fun team. But certainly we'll miss watching Bailey play. She goes hard. But man, they got the younger Holmes girl, Brooklyn, she blasted one the other day, and Oxner, they're still going to have kids who can hit. I don't know where they are and if they have a pitcher coming, but that's obviously key. You got to have that young pitcher coming up through the pipeline. But Skeezer softball, I haven't seen anything on their tournament yet, but I haven't looked that hard. There may be something out there, but that should be coming up as well. But on the baseball diamond, some news, first of all, from last night. We were correct in believing that Buford game was going to be called official. And, you know, it took time for the word to get out this morning, but that was, in fact, the case, because Buford was batting in the bottom of the fifth. They had just scored three to take the lead. Jaden Andrews with a double. To tie it up, and then Gunnar Hollingsworth knocked in two with a double to take the lead, and then the rainout came. I think the initial thought was, as Mullis mentioned, like in the past, the rule had been that you would resume it in the playoffs, but I guess that was changed at the executive level at some point, and so that rule was new, and it seemed like they weren't the only ones who weren't sure about that last night, so. Kind of took the state by surprise a little bit, I think, and a lot of people were figuring that out in real time. But yeah, Buford with the lead through five, essentially, they don't have to finish their time at bat with the lead. That's official game. So it's a tough way to go, both for May River and for Gilbert. But I it's been part of the game for as long as I can remember too, that sometimes it gets rained out, and they played enough to call it official. You're always worried about it, right? Like you start watching the weather going, oh shoot, we've got six in already. It's going to be, it's going to be official.
The other thing is it makes it like, even if they did like try and finish that game, it makes it much tougher for the away team have to drive back home and then drive back for wherever they're going the next day. So I think,
I think that's the rationale behind the rule, but if that is the sole rationale behind the rule, then I think you probably should add some kind of caveat for within a certain radius. Travel was not the reason not to play that the rest of that
game. Yeah, that game,
it made sense for Gilbert, but not so much.
Yeah, that game made sense. The Bluffton May River game, I thought for sure they were going to be like, okay, we'll finish this tomorrow. Because they're only, 15 minutes away from each other. So it's not like it's.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that's revisited after this season.
Yeah.
you know, it's one of those things that maybe you don't foresee, but then it happens and you go, ah, what do you do with this?
Yeah.
But then are you going to allow the other teams to opt in? You know, because Gilbert would have happily come back down here to play the rest of that game, I promise you.
Yeah, but at what cost?
Like a strict rule. Right. I mean, it's just hard because what line are you drawing in terms of,
right?
Okay, this team's too far, this team's closer. It's just can be messy situation.
Yeah, because I mean, those kids would be worn out, especially like the Gilbert kids. They'd be worn out by the next game.
I guarantee you, they would not care. They wanted to come back and play the rest of their baseball game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the good thing is if they would have remade the game up tonight, I don't think if Gilbert would have won, let's just say they won, mm-hmm. I don't think they would have had to play again until Thursday, right? So they would have had a day off, correct?
No, in that setup they run it right back. In the 3A setup they run it right back. So they would have played again. And especially in this case, even if it was set, because the lower state tournament starts Thursday, like we got to have it all set by Thursday. Yeah. Yep. So Buford awaits; they're advanced to lower state.
Yeah, they drew the short end of the draw there because they got their first two games on the road. It's just the way the H is worked out in terms of the.
But I think seeding factors into that.
Right. So it depends on – that's true. It just depends on what teams advance.
So Buford as a two seed, if it's Waccamaw, they'll be on the road. But if Brooklyn Casey were to come through, then I think Buford would get it.
Right. So the H is just if the seed is the same, then that determines the host. But then the seeding has precedent in terms of – yeah, that makes sense.
I believe so. That's the way it's been in the past. It's one of those things, again, that could come up for a vote anytime, and I might not have seen it in the fine print, but in the past it has been that the seeds held through. And so if you were the higher seed, if both are the same, then the H is just the coin flip, basically. So it could go either way. I don't know who looks like Camden came out of the one district and Hanahan and Dreer are probably playing tonight, I guess. So we'll have to see who got that one. That would be interesting if Hanahan gets in there and we could have another Hanahan Buford brouhaha. That could be fun. Let me check on Hanahan. I think I got him on here. No, I don't. But so Buford's through. Everything's lined up for them. I mean, we said all season that, like, look, the pieces are there. If they can get the thing running, you know, the way it's supposed to, this could be interesting. But and it will be Hanahan, by the way, who came through. They beat Dreer again. So Hanahan coming out. Two from Region 8, 3A. Camden's always very good, and they – kind of breeze through. They only allowed one run in their district tournament. That's impressive. And Waccamaw and both Waccamaw and Brooklyn Casey are tough. So they'll have their hands full in that first game. But man, their pitching will be all set up. They had three CGs in the district, which is about as good as it gets. Malcolm Webb and then Gunnar Hollingsworth and then Dylan Ross last night. So they're all set up. Should be fun. See if things keep it rolling. What else on the baseball front? Not much. We got a little Skeeza. Well, we got a little Skeeza, actually. Hildenegg Christian finished their game off. And remember, they were in some peril. It was 2-2 top of the fifth when the rain came. And they pulled away 8-5. And then Patrick Henry cruised 11. Didn't cruise. They were up big, but then it got kind of dicey. 11-7 over Calhoun. Dorchester and Colleton Prep was a 1-0 game in the fourth last night, and Dorchester broke it open today and won 11-1. So PHA and DA up 1-0, trying to get to the finals. Hildenegg Christian stays alive, and now they get to go to Williamsburg tomorrow. So rematch on tap.
Cody Bratt with the 2-run homer to put them up 7-5, and then they just didn't look back after that. So they came out playing much better today than they did yesterday. I mean, the offense was there, but the I don't know if the defense or the pitching just wasn't there yesterday, allowing, you know, to keep the game that close. But, you know, I think Florence Christian kind of figured out after that first game against Hilda Christian how they play and how do you know,
yeah,
oppose that. So, you know, good win for Christian Academy, but they still have a fight. They still have a fight at Williamsburg Academy left. I mean, it's not once, but twice they got to beat them. So, and right, that second game, wherever the neutral site game is, if they can win, I believe it's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it should be tomorrow, and I suspect I'll see the Blackburn kid again. Unless they try to hold him back for the next round.
My guess would be Zane Wilson will pitch tomorrow for them because he's on enough rest, I think. So he'll probably start for Helmut Christian.
It didn't help that Crosby went 30 pitches in the first inning yesterday. They did a good job of working counts and
yeah.
That kind of put them behind the eight ball on pitching, but getting some offense early today when they resumed was big because then that takes the pressure off a little bit.
So you got Zane Wilson, you got Hayden Brooks as well. I don't know if they want to go with Hayden Brooks again after, you know, the tough first inning or so that he
had. No, you got to go back to him. You got to go back to him. But
I think you can put him like in a must win game. You could use him in relief.
He's your guy. He had one rocky start. It's not a big deal at all.
I think Zane
would probably start Zane if he's on normal rest.
I think Zane will start tomorrow, and then Hayden Brooks might be available to relieve. I don't think Cody Brout will be available tomorrow. I'm trying to think how many pitches he had today because I think he pitched for them to finish off the game. Let me take a look here.
You got to go with one of your strong guy, and you have to win one to get to the next one. So
right. I think if you got to throw both Wilson and Brooks to get through the first one, you got to do it, and then worry about tomorrow.
Yeah, Brett had 50 pitches today. Yeah,
I think that's over the 2 days threshold, so that would take him out for the rest of the.
He won't be available probably tomorrow, but you got Wilson, you got Brooks. You got other players. You got Dylan Clark as well if you need to use Dylan Clark as a pitcher because he can be pretty good whenever he's
Mickelson,
on the mound.
You got some guys.
So they got options. Like, they have depth there. It's just can they keep, you know, Williamsburg from scoring first? You know, I think that's the main thing. Get on board first.
Yeah. Because
this team scored 5 runs on you and you just could not come back from it. So you got to keep them at bay in the first inning.
I especially believe in that on the road. I feel like, you know, you get to hit first, set the tone, get one on the board and set the tone, give your pitcher some confidence, let your defense play.
We've seen them lose to teams and then come back and beat them, obliterate them at times. You know, we watched them do it. Like we've said, we watched them do it against Hillnet Prep. They lost to Hillnet Prep in the first game. And then that second game, they obliterated them, you know, and just did not stop, you know, on the offensive side. So they know how to fight back and they know how to learn from whatever mistakes they made in the loss against Williamsburg. So I think it'll be a much closer game, but again, that Williamsburg team is no joke. So, I mean, it's going to be a dog fight for that game for Christian Academy to keep their season alive.
Yeah. Yeah. That is 2 days rest. So he's down. They got to get through to the finals to get him back in there. But Hillnet Prep is sitting, waiting for PD Academy tomorrow. PD beat Orangeburg in the rematch, so that was what we kind of expected would happen. Great run by Orangeburg, but I think they just ran out of gas. But PD coming to town, Hillnet Prep was able to avoid them the first time around, so you know it'll be first look at them. This will be a test. If I'm Prep, I'd want to get that first one. I don't want to go to the if game.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you get that first one, you're into the state championship series. I mean, they're going to want to get that first one. But something tells me PD is going to try and get this to 2 games. I honestly think they will, but it all depends on who's pitching for Prep tomorrow. Would Standard be available?
I'm sure it's Perky. I'm sure Perky's gonna be the guy.
Okay.
He's been solid. I wouldn't think Stanyard.
It also depends on what. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Stanyard's good. He's good, but it's Perky's turn, and he's solid.
And you got Stanyard available too, if you got to put him in. So I mean, that's really good for prep. And the other thing is, what pitchers did PD use tonight, and how many pitchers did they use?
Right.
To beat Orangeburg prep, and that's,
I can't tell you because my game changer doesn't let me see stats anymore. I don't know what happened.
I'll look it up here while we keep talking. But yeah, I mean that's going to be based off of who's available for PD on the pitching side, because I know they have some depth of pitching, They have a good offensive team too. So I mean, it's gonna be a good fight between them and Helmet Prep. But I think it'll go two games. But I think ultimately, I think Prep could be. I mean, they have the upper hand. So I think Prep will get into the state championship series.
Could be. That'd be wild, because this was not the year I think that Wells expected it as much. But you know, he was prepared to hang it up after last year, and he told me in the off season that he just really liked this group of kids so much and wanted to do it again. And I think, you know, you're kind of seeing why, because they're a scrappy bunch, man. They play hard. They play the right way. They bought in. And you can see why he enjoys coaching this group. But
yeah, so,
all right, boys. Yeah, what you got?
Tonight, so PD had four pitchers throw tonight, but they're all under 50 pitches. So
well, under 50 is not really relevant. Are they under 45?
Three of the four are under 45. One hit 45 pitches. So
okay.
So
if you go over 45, you're not eligible tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. So they have, so three of the four pitchers they pitched tonight will be available tomorrow.
They're not available tomorrow. I'm sorry. Over 30 is one day rest. Right? Over 30 is one day rest, so they wouldn't be available tomorrow, but they would be available.
If they're at 30 pitches, are they available to go tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So they have two of their four pitchers available for tomorrow. Okay.
So they only bring two for tomorrow. Again, but then the other two, if they're under 45, would be up on Thursday. So a lot of factors at play. There's a lot of math involved these days in baseball coaching.
What the playoffs are, man, I love it.
It's hard to manage them well. I mean, you really have to have a good sense of.
Yeah, you got to. Yeah, you got to have the right coaches.
I wouldn't envy their job. It's hard. It is hard to.
It's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, that's all the baseball and softball. Let's shout out some sponsors. MVP sponsors of Loco Sports, our biggest supporters. And it starts with my wife, Megan Jarrett, the official realtor of Loco Sports. She's with Keller Williams of the Lowcountry. She'd love to help you find a place in the Loco, or maybe upgrade to a bigger, better place. And the Loco real estate market is ripe right now. Great time to get in. Call on Megan Jarrett from Keller Williams of the Lowcountry, official realtor of Loco Sports. Homegrown Home Inspections is our official home inspector. Jan Lucas and his team are the best in the biz at making sure that home is the right one for you and it's well built. And if you're having building a new home, you got to have that phased inspection. They'll check in every step of the way, make sure it's being built right. Call on Homegrown Home Inspections. Mickelson Law Firm, official real estate closing attorney of Loco Sports, our original sponsor and presenting sponsor of our Hilton Head Christian Academy coverage. Saw the Mickelsons at the ballpark tonight at Oscar Frazier. Had the big softball playoff game tonight. Unfortunately, the Diamond Dogs got the electric eels, but we gave a great fight against a really good team. But Mickelson Law Firm, love those folks and all they do in our community. Call on them for your legal needs. And Hospice Care of the Lowcountry, official hospice provider of Loco Sports, only not-for-profit hospice in Southern Beaufort County. They provide all kinds of great services to help make the end-of-life experience better for everyone involved, because in hospice care of the Lowcountry, it's not about dying, it's about living. Those are our MVP sponsors. Let's talk a little soccer, boys, because boys soccer, in fact. Skeeza boys got started tonight. Pretty good night for the Loco. Only one went down. Hilton Head Prep boys lost 8-0 to a really good Pinewood Prep team. But John Paul II with the 3-2 road win over Wilson Hall. Christian Academy kept cruising, 8-1 over Northwood. So they're both through to the semis. Buford Academy boys went on the road and beat Thomas Sumter 6-1. Coach Leslie was fussing on Twitter. They had common opponents. BA won their region. They had common opponents, but Thomas Sumter had tied once and lost 9-1 once to the team, and BA beat them, and BA got sent on the road. But they come home with a 6-1 win, so they'll face Christian Academy Myrtle Beach next, I believe. And Patrick Henry boys with a 6-1 win over Dylan Christian. So I'll get our Skeezus soccer brackets up here, and we can check those out. I don't.
Yeah, that's a good win by JP too. I believe that's a pretty big upset too against Wilson Hall on the road.
I mean, it's a 3-2, whatever that means.
Never easy doing the road.
No, it's not. That's a team. It wasn't much of an. I mean, I guess it was a little. Yeah, I was thinking.
It wasn't much of an upset. Josh Fox there anymore? He's at Bluffton, and that program has continued to play well, and Ski's a 3A where you've got a couple of strong teams throughout. So never easy. So good job there, JP2. But like Chris Demi's have an excellent season and take care of business at home. So they are both primed. Do some big things going forward, and only a pair of wins away, I believe, from state championship.
Yeah, Hillnut Christian. I'm trying to see who they're gonna have next. If First Baptist
got could the we job have done. A could have a double double
we could. It's in play. Trying to see First Baptist. I don't even see them on here. I don't know. We'll have to find out score later, I suppose. But HHCA will be at home on Thursday. So big semifinal game. JP2 will go on the road to Pinewood. So we'll have to get a report on that one.
I got the score here. First Baptist beat Florence Christian 8-1.
Okay. Same score as HHCA. So that should be a good Donnybrook on Thursday. Should be a good one. Definitely have to try to check that out. Hildeneb Prep girls obviously advanced. We talked about that last night. I don't know who won that Spartanburg Christian Palmetto Christian game. Max will look it up though. Yep. And Christian Academy of Myrtle Beach against JP2. So Golden Warriors on the road tomorrow night for that one. But yeah, as you mentioned, Wes, possibility for a all loco final there as well. That'd be that's fun.
If it's a doubleheader in the Loco, that would be fun.
That would be fantastic. I'm not
sure what they'll do in terms of – yeah, I'm not sure what they'll do in terms of
– Well, we got a precedent now, don't we?
Right, we do. We had it at the Hoops. And
I feel like that set an important precedent if we want to get one in our backyard again. there's your 2A boys bracket, BA – advancing tonight. I'm assuming they'll face Christian Academy Myrtle Beach. Hopefully they can get through that and see who awaits in the finals. In the girls, BA tomorrow night at Cambridge Academy, Holy Trinity at home tomorrow night against Charleston Collegiate, and a potential all loco final there as well. So yeah,
well,
Loco looking good. The illustrious five-team bracket, state tournament bracket. Gotta love it. So yeah, that's the soccer tonight. And that's it, boys. It's dwindling.
Starting to dwindle.
Not a lot going on. But tomorrow, and the high school league state singles tennis was supposed to be yesterday and today, but I can't find any evidence of it having occurred. So on the website, so I don't know what's going on there. But tomorrow night we'll have Bluffton at Lucy Beckham in baseball, as well as PD at Hildenhead Prep, and Hildenhead Christian Academy at Williamsburg. We gotta add that one. We'll have Patrick Henry at Calhoun, Dorchester at Carlton Prep, and then second round of girls soccer for Skeeza. Hildenhead Prep at home, JP2 on the road, BA make on note the road.
That, the Hildenhead girls game, of course, on Thursday because of the baseball play on Wednesday.
Right. Good call.
Prep girls
on Thursday. That is right. Good call, sir. Because they use part of the same field.
Right. You can't have both games going on because you got the – some home runs.
It would be interesting to see, though. Good luck. Good luck in the outfield. Yeah, that would be a problem. So, all right, we got the schedule updated. So let's shout out some more sponsors. We may have a shorter show tonight, or we may just end up bantering about all kinds of other stuff. We'll see. Varsity sponsors of Loco Sports: DDS Web Design builds, hosts, and maintains websites for businesses and nonprofits to get results. So you need to get found online so you can do more and think bigger. Go to ddshhi.com. The Parker Law Group serves legal needs across Colleton, Hampton, and Jasper counties, and they've jumped on board to help us continue to expand our coverage in those counties and shine a light on more deserving teams and student athletes around the Loco. Reverence Wrestling Club is our official wrestling sponsor and the presenting sponsor of the Loco Grind. If you want to take your skills on the mat to the next level, get over to Reverence Wrestling Club. And Dr. Ambrose Cole, the official chiropractor of Loco Sports, you can find him at Rooted Living Wellness, and he'll get you feeling right, mind, body, and spirit. Those are our varsity sponsors. What do you boys want to talk about? What's going on in your world?
How was your time in Ohio?
It was good, man. I did a couple fun things. Went and got some Toledo Mud Hens merch. Nice. Go Mud Hens, man. Love that team. A great ballpark too. For those of you who've never seen that field, go look it up. It's a really nice field. Probably one of the best fields in all of AAA baseball. So I always have fun. Unfortunately, I missed them because they were out of town for the entire week and weekend. But they came back and played, I believe, tonight. I was hoping to get to a game, but then. But yeah, I had some fun, spent time with family I haven't seen in a few years, and it was fun, it was great to get back up to Ohio. You know, I always love going back up there, so a good time of the year to go to. Great weather this time of the year up in Ohio, so I enjoyed it, man.
Good deal. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, I've never ventured up to Ohio. I know there's a lot of it's a very noticeable area from this. Speaking of Ohio, the Cavs getting into round two. You a Cavs fan? You are.
No.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
No, dude, I thought you were. I'm a Hawks fan, man. I'm a Hawks fan.
Speaking of Ohio, actually, I got something. You triggered something for me. BJ Payne's from Ohio.
Oh yeah.
And he made a couple announcements today. The first couple of camp counselors, coaches for the All-American Football Camp, which is coming May 17th through 19th for grades K through 8. This is a great event, man. He's already, he had to come out swinging with the hometown kids. Puna Ford, currently a Los Angeles Charger, unfortunately, but formerly of the Buffalo Bills and Seattle Seahawks, will be coming back, of course, and as well as Jalen Snead, Nuke from Notre Dame, has been announced, and there will be many more to come. He's always got a bunch of big names on the list, but he's also a good marketer. He knows how to build the hype,
come back, so
he'll leak them out. They're like begging to come back.
Right. Even like some of these other guys that are not Loco bred, they love to continue to be a part of this. And it's fun to see them.
A bunch of them train with Casser too.
In the NFL.
Which I promised you Casser at some point, but Casser's like, bro, 10 o'clock. He gets up at 4:30 in the morning. So, once these playoffs wind up, we'll fall back a little bit and have a little earlier time so we can get some intriguing interviews going during the summer. But it always brings a ton of guys from Ohio State, from Clemson, from Georgia, from all over the place. Big time names, guys that are now playing in the NFL have been coming since they were in college. And so it's always a really cool event. And if you got a kid who loves football, it's really a skills, more of like a fun skills camp type thing. So introduction to some fundamental stuff. So even if you haven't played football before, I think if you've got a kid who's athletic and enjoys the game, it's a great opportunity.
And they're kids of all ages, boys and girls. I mean, it's for everyone. There isn't just
kindergartners. Obviously, they're not playing tackle football.
Right. But the fundamentals, the skills you need to be a successful player, just a successful athlete, doesn't have to be. Right. I know it's football, but like the skills are, they transfer no matter what sports you're playing.
Yeah,
it's cool to see all these young boys and girls as well in this camp. And They had a ton of fun.
Getting girls flag football. We need that.
Yes. I know Georgia is huge with girls flag football.
I'd love to see that. That would be awesome. We got some girls that would be fun to watch. Some of those track stars especially.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but I was going to say the counselors, they always have fun. They get into some drills and scrimmages and stuff, and they get as much as into it as the kids do.
Oh, yeah.
The kids love it.
Well, yeah, and then they, like, have competitions, right?
Right. Like
their group of kids against another group of kids, and they get really into that.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot of fun.
Because they are competitors at the end of the day. What else we got happening, boys? Hockey playoffs have been good. Had some good seven gamers. I know you guys are hockey guys.
Yeah, man.
You a Bruins guy, Wes? No, you're a Hurricanes.
I'm watching an overtime game right now between Carolina and New York.
You're a Hurricanes guy, right?
We're 4 minutes left in overtime.
Yeah, I'm a Hurricanes dude as well.
Yeah.
Oh, you are. Because the Thrashers no longer exist.
Yeah.
No more.
Hey, you never know. I've heard rumors that Atlanta's trying to get a hockey team back there, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, I do love the Hurricanes, man. I've been a big fan. Even during the time of the Atlanta Thrashers, I was always a huge Hurricanes fan, so I always enjoy watching it. Yeah, they're playing a good game right now.
Yeah, we're deep into overtime.
I have to get that on. I had the Cubs game on, but it's over now.
Oh, it is.
Good dub, though.
Yeah.
But, So, I haven't checked on Carmen Majewski lately. How's he doing? Is he still?
I think he's injured.
On
he's
rehab?
Injured
right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's so, currently injured right now. I did see something the other day. I don't know if he's had a rehab assignment yet, but as far as I know, he was injured. He hasn't played yet this season.
Facing hitters soon, they said a month ago.
Yeah, so he should have a playoff assignment, or not playoff assignment, rehab assignment.
Yeah. Should be coming soon.
I remember hearing in a notice online about it wasn't going to be as long as they expected. Like, they thought potentially could have been like an extended IL stint, but it looks like he's close to returning. So that's good news for Carmen and Pirates, who they used him a lot this last year. And he is definitely like a mainstay in the big organization. And just the numbers, the advanced analytics can really tell you how good he's been. And this is a guy that looks like is going to be a major factor. I don't know if he'll eventually be a starter, but he's definitely found a role in one of the guys they've really turned to in relief appearances. So he's exceeded my expectations for what he's done. I knew he would eventually make it up, but just the level of success that he had just coming out of the gate in the majors, you don't see it very often. Obviously, small sample size, but when he's come in, like
I think he's going to be a closer. Yeah. I honestly think he's going to be a closer.
Sure. Yeah,
he's he's a chill dude, man. I could see him being able to handle that role. Not everybody can. And he's got the stuff. I mean, he was pitching some leverage spots in relief last year. And I think he really responded well to the move to the bullpen. So I think I'd like to see him try to go that route before he went back to the starting route. But closer's a nice gig, man. You don't have to pitch nearly as many innings. Being a starter these days is
the leverage is higher, though. You got a ton of high leverage opportunities as a closer. So it's
yeah, but the starting is treacherous on the old elbow.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
They keep just going down, dropping like flies out there. It's been rough.
Yeah, it is rough. That's kind of what the game is these days. The pitcher's throwing as hard as they possibly can, and it ruins your arm.
Max effort, yeah. It's not, I mean, it is what it is, because go tell a guy who's that competitive and, that driven to not give max effort. Like when he knows the difference in effectiveness, it's going to happen.
Guy that's going to throw, be a flamethrower, come in and exert all the effort in one inning. I mean, that's normally coming in the ninth. Maybe you have a four out save, but normally it's a quick appearance, and you have it or you're pulled. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. That's right. It's hard out there.
Yeah.
What else we got? I'm trying to find some more topics of conversation, but kind of striking out here.
Yeah, it's getting to be the last few
dregs.
Yeah.
So I've looked everywhere. I cannot find that Palmetto Christian Spartanburg Christian score.
Oh, really?
I love it.
He's a baseball.
Well, wait, hold on a second.
Oh, that's soccer. That's soccer.
Oh, soccer. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, skis in general, it can be difficult to track down all the scores. Some schools, I will tell you, especially for football, when I've been working with just rounding up stats for Red Zone, for Prep Red Zone, for other work I've done, you really have to dig sometimes to find those stats. Thankfully, there's a lot more resources you can use now, but it's still fairly taxing to sometimes to find everything that you need. Compared to what you have high school league saying now, it's fine. There's always some diamonds in the rough in terms of Skeezer, which is cool, but it's definitely different. But as we've seen, Tony O'Banner, just him, you have, I mean, a local example, but you've got guys elsewhere who are tremendous athletes and can absolutely step into a, smaller to a higher level college setting.
Oh yeah.
And that's the cool thing about it.
Yeah. Theron Cannon's still going. There's a bunch of dudes out there from the Malik Frost just graduated from Hampton, Sydney. That was cool. Nice. Now there's a bunch of guys out there playing from the Skeezer ranks. Speaking of football, did get confirmation because I know we had mentioned it at one point. Jerry Hatcher officially rehired at Whale Branch. He is still the head football coach there. Mm-hmm. He had, and in case people missed it before, he had opted for retirement, and this is a common practice. You retire and then you reapply and you get your state pension and you draw a salary, right? So, but you got to reapply for the position. And so that's why, he had to go through the process, and they had to open it up and all that, and with it being a public job. So, Jerry Hatcher's still the guy, and I'm told that he's got some additions to the coaching staff. So excited to see what they can do out there. Zoe Allen, is one of the big dogs coming back. I'd love to see Jermon Bowers continue to develop as quarterback. I liked what he brings to the table, and they're always going to have athletes. So it's going to be fun to see what Whale Branch does. They'll be up in 2A now, though, right?
So, yeah.
With Hampton, that'll be a fun little rivalry. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And also looking forward to Richland versus Hardeeville in 1A. And that's going to be a fun rivalry coming back with the split. Being all the way split now, so that'll be cool. But we'll be talking football soon enough, and it feels like we never stop talking football in some regard.
Never really is.
Always like, not really. I mean, there's like recruiting stuff,
players on the move, and then you get then before you know it, you have spring practice, you get 7-on-7s, so that's all coming up soon.
Yeah, transfer portal opens soon.
Yeah.
We'll see how.
Not necessarily the college to the transfer portal, but you have, spring ball, then you get 7-on-7s, and then
I just meant, new school year. Yeah. There's always some people who are
always
in new schools for various different reasons. Yep. That's always interesting to see how that shakes out. But excited for Bluffton football next year. Aiden McCarthy and Carnell Warren are going to be a pretty fun combination to watch. Interested to see how much losing Karkov impacts things there, but I think it'll be okay. May River, I think, bounces back this year. Obviously, Beaufort is always going to be a factor. Samari, watching him for another year, that's going to be a lot of fun. So, Skeezer ranks, Tony O'Banner is just a blast to watch. Hilton Christian should be solid again. Excited to see if Hilton Prep can take a step in the right direction. Patrick Henry reloading, they lose a lot, but they've got a good culture there. So definitely excited for fall. It's going to be good times, but we'll have some all-stars, the to Diamond Youth Baseball. It's not called Dixie anymore. Diamond Youth Baseball All-Stars. Yeah. Yeah. Nationwide. Nationwide in 11 states. They made a Diamond Youth Baseball, which thank goodness, long overdue.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that'll be fun. You know, All-Stars. We got a, used to be called the Dixie Boys, I guess it's the Diamond Boys now. The 14 and under and 13 and under World Series will be in Buford at Burton Wells this summer. So we'll have plenty of stuff going on.
Yeah,
I always enjoy those All-Star tournaments. Those are blast.
It's fun. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved when I played Dixie Boys baseball, man. It was always fun.
Yeah, it's good times. Good times. Just repping your town, you know, like that's a cool thing. That's always a fun thing. It's meaningful. So, hey, the Loco Booster Club helps keep us going. And we've got the Court Lifestyle Pros. Daniel and Debbie Court are with Charter One Realty. They're Loco natives, and they want to bring you home to Hilton Head Island. Revive Rehab Women's Health and Pelvic Floor Physical Therapy is where you can find Dr. Allie and Dr. Jen, and they specialize in helping new moms get back on their feet. Eagle Creations has promotional items and custom apparel and just about everything else you can imagine. If you go to one of those promotional websites where you buy all the junk to promote your business, they got all that stuff at Eagle Creations. Go over to Argent Boulevard and see what they can do for you. And Jay's Barbershop is the place to be in Ridgeland. Whether you need a haircut or not, you can stop by Jay's to get some great conversation and leave looking stylish. Downtown Ridgeland, Jay's Barbershop, and Barefoot Floor Care of the Low Country. They'll get your floors so clean, your feet will thank you, and you'll thank Chris Odom, and you'll thank us for referring you to Chris Odom and Barefoot Floor Care of the Low Country. That's the Loco Booster Club. Gentlemen, you want to shout somebody out tonight? Wes, who you got?
Buddy? Yeah, I'll start. I'll go, I think, an easy choice tonight, and it's Nabel. The guy, the young woman you predicted would be on the circle, not just, you know, starting, but going the distance, complete game, shutout, and the best I've seen her look, although I haven't seen much of her this year, but she was dialed in. Six huge strikeouts, but a really efficient outing, and certainly had some, you know, extended at bats. And give credit to Lucy Beckham, they made her work for it, but she delivered the entire way for a team that, you know, needed to find someone to carry them to a potential game on Thursday. I mean, it's all hands on deck, and you got to find a way to survive in advance at this point. And Carabello did the job on Saturday, and now it's Nakel who does it here tonight. So she, especially for a freshman, she looked poised. She was ready for the moment and embraced it. And
she carried a lot of the load last year as an eighth grader. And,
she did.
You know,
yeah, and that's worth noting. That's worth noting because, you know, now going into an even bigger spot.
Yeah.
Season on the line.
Yeah, she won't be fazed by it. I mean, I don't think she will. She's a tough kid. She's played a lot of ball. She knows what's going on out there. She's a good player, really good player. They're in good hands with that young group. Max, who are you shouting out, man?
I got two. First one is Cody Bratman. Coming in clutch for them tonight. Pitched 2 2/3 innings, 3 hits, allowed 2 runs, and then, you know, after allowing those 2 runs, you know, shut him down with 4 strikeouts, only 1 walk. And then on the other side, he hit a 2-run home run to give them the lead, and they never looked back after that. And then the other one is Roman Coella for them tonight. In this game, over the 2 days that they played this game, he was 2 for 4 with 4 RBIs. That's real impressive by the starting catcher for them. So, yeah. You know, two
he's
guys
really good behind the dish, too.
Oh, he's really good behind the dish. Yeah. So, you know, two guys stepping up for them, coming up clutch for them, you know, in a 5-5 game, they end up winning by 3. And now you got to go play and win the next 2 games against Williamsburg.
Yeah, man. You know, I wouldn't count them out by any means. That Blackburn game's pretty tough, though. They just got to bring energy. They were flat that first game against them. They got to bring energy get on them early.
And you know, the score was not really indicated. They almost broke through a couple of times. I was on the call with Chabon, and they were just a hit away from. I thought. Once they loaded up the bases, this was going to be the turning point.
Yeah, and then twice they had the bases loaded in the middle of the order.
Double play to center, which was just a baseline mistake, which ended up doubling off that runner. That was just a really tough way to see that inning end. And, you know, you just, if you make a couple more, pick up a couple more hits, it's a completely different ball game, and you maybe are at home tomorrow. So,
and it was 3-1 for most of the time that they were threatening, too. It was like every inning for a while there, they were threatening and just couldn't get anything across. So, no, I think they got a great shot to win one tomorrow. And if they win one tomorrow, then, you know, it's anybody's guess on Tuesday or on Thursday. And I think they have a real good shot then if they can get through that first one. So, I like that. I'm going to give my shout out going back to last night. Oh, by the way, the 2-day thing made me laugh because I was thinking about it. It's like a cricket test match, you know, like, all right, let's break and we'll be back tomorrow evening to finish this one up. But no, I was going to give mine to Gunnar Hollingsworth going back to last night. And it's kind of a, you know, not a lifetime achievement, but kind of a cumulative thing here over the last, you know, couple of weeks. He's been really good. He pitched tremendously in that game against Gilbert the first time around. He's been really solid, you know, whenever that, wherever they've called on him, and he's swinging a good bat. Big hit last night, 2-run double. And I got a soft spot for him because I played some men's league with him. And he's a tough ball player, just tough nosed ball player, you know, gets after it and plays hard. And so I wanted to show him a little love because he's kind of been an under-the-radar guy for them this year. But he's been a huge role player, especially here late. So Gunnar Hollingsworth, my shout-out. What are you boys getting into tomorrow night?
I'm
going to do the prep. Yeah, I'm going to Hilton Head prep, see them go up against PD, which is set to make it to the championship series. All they got to do is win one. I mean, obviously, if they lose, they – would play the next day at any neutral site. So hopefully they don't have to go there and get it done. But that's not going to be easy. PD's going to come in hungry. I was obviously playing for their season. And prep's going to have to get a good start from whoever they throw out there on the mound. And defense got to execute behind them because that's really different. When prep plays good defense, it's hard to beat them because they're going to find chances to score at the plate. And they're a scrappy team. So
I'm free tomorrow evening, so I think I'm going to try to get down there and see that too. I wanted to get down there Monday, and it didn't work out. But I'd love to get down there and see that game. That'd be a good game. That's about it in the area, right?
Yeah, that might be the only game where all three of us are going to go to tomorrow. So
Holy Trinity girls soccer is at home as well.
That's true.
But true. I think I'll say
that. Yeah.
I got to see what time it starts. Might be able to get there. Yep. All right. So that'll do it for tonight, boys. We'll see if we can't get some more friends to come hang out with us tomorrow night. It was kind of a chaotic evening. I had my conclusion of my softball game that was halted in the top of the first last night. And then baseball practice. So I was coming in hot. Wes was coming in hot from the tank. And Max was coming in hot from Ohio. So we got the job done. We got the people up to speed on what's happening in the Loco sports scene. And we'll be back tomorrow night to do it again. Thanks to all of our sponsors who make it possible, as well as all of you who show up to listen or watch. For Wesker and Max Araj, I'm Justin Jarrett. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, go Loco.
The Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast is a production of Loco Media LLC and LocoSports.com, an independent media outlet providing grassroots local sports coverage in the South Carolina Lowcountry. We are sustained by community support from sponsors and patrons like you. Get in the game with a monthly pledge of $1 or more at patreon.com/LocoSports to keep us going and growing. Go Loco!